Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. True lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're going to discover how to open our heart to God's evaluation. Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 through 34. Here's Paul Chapel.
You may want to throw that paper away or burn it when you're done, but write some things out and just try to think through where you're at in your heart with God. Ask the Lord to reveal any sin that hinders you. Secondly, allow God's Spirit to reveal your needs through the Word of God. Sometimes just through prayer and meditation, God reveals something, but always through His Word, He will show you what's going on in your heart. Now, I want you to think about Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, how many of you realize the Christian life is a heart relationship with Jesus Christ? And the Bible is the Word of God. It's the sword that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we hear Bible preaching, when we read the Bible, oftentimes God's going to show us something in our heart. Now, that's why some people don't like Bible preaching churches. They'd rather hear a praise band for an hour than the preaching for an hour. Because the preaching's going to pinpoint some things that God wants us to deal with in our hearts. And a mature Christian welcomes the strong, declarative preaching of the Word of God. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so God is constantly revealing His will and His way to us through His Word. And so we need to allow God to evaluate our hearts. We need to welcome that. We need to realize that when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit wants to do an examination of our hearts. And He wants to show us those areas that we still need to work on, those areas that are holding us back. And he wants to help us understand why we respond sometimes the way we do, why we try to handle our trials through drugs, through food, through hatred, through anger. Why do we do that? God wants to reveal that to you. I want to tell you something. I can't reveal it. Your friends many times may try, but they can't. But God can reveal if you'll say, Lord, search my heart. Try me, show me what areas in my life are wrong, are wicked, and need to be changed. Now, the second step in opening our heart to Christ is accepting God's evaluation. Accepting God's evaluation. The first step is allowing Him to do the evaluation. The second step is accepting God's evaluation. Now, there's a word that we sometimes say here at church, and or you hear sometimes at church, and it's the word amen, all right? Now, that word sometimes makes people nervous, like, man, what is he saying in there? Why are they saying that? Well, amen simply means I agree. That's what it means. When someone says amen, they're saying I agree. Now, let me help you with something. Whenever we read the Word of God, our spirit needs to be saying amen. You might not be a big amener in the church, you know. You might not be someone that's saying, amen, glory to God, whatever. But in our hearts, we need to be saying amen. In our hearts, we need to agree with what the Bible is saying to us. We need to accept God's evaluation. Now, I want to share with you then two ways to agree or to accept God's evaluation. First of all, when God pinpoints something to you in your heart, we need to confess that to God. We need to confess it to God. We need to openly admit that, God, I'm glad you showed me that through that message this morning. I'm glad you showed me that in your word this morning. I didn't realize that. I confess that to you. Now, Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, that's a strange verse. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? It means that our spirit is lit by His awareness or consciousness within us. He searches the most secret parts of man. God is going to search the innermost being of a man to show us what we need to see by the illumination of His Spirit and His Word. And when He does show you something, you need to confess that to God. Now, John said in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, if someone can hear preaching week after week and read the Bible week after week and act like, hey, I don't have any problems, what's the big deal? If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. You know who's going to get the most out of this message this morning? The person who says, wow, Lord, you were right there. I needed that. Lord, I ask you to help me with that. Lord, I confess it was me that needed that message. In fact, our attitude, if we're approaching this right, should not be defensive like, I've got to watch it. He's going to say something. He's going to get me today. Our attitude should be, Lord, let me have it. Show me what I need today. And when He does, then we confess to the Lord. Boy, Lord, thank you. That's what I needed. Because if we say that we have no sin, we're just hurting ourselves. We're just going to cause the problem to go farther and farther down if we say that we have no sin. So we must confess that to God. Secondly, we need to many times confess it to a godly person. Now, in this matter of recovering from wrong lifestyles and sin and wickedness, many times it helps to confess to a godly person. Now, I'm not speaking necessarily about some hidden sin from the way past that maybe is best left between you and God. You can confess that to God. But if there's a lingering temptation in your life right now, you can't walk by the alcohol section at Albertsons without being tempted. You can't turn on the computer without being tempted. If there is a lingering temptation in your life right now, sometimes it helps not only confess that to God, but to confess it to a godly, underscore the word godly, person. Now, James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the word faults means a trespass. So if there's an area that you're wanting to trespass into and God's pointing it out to you that that's wrong, then we need to confess it to Him. And sometimes we need to go to a brother and say, I need to talk to you about something. Can we have lunch together? Will you pray with me about this? Because I need victory in this area. Now, do you need to do that? Do you need to accept God's evaluation today? Is there someone that has hurt you and you are holding a grudge? You know, it's amazing to me, there are many ministries today that talk about being abused and being hurt and so forth, but they never seem to get people over that bridge of forgiveness. It's as if they want to hold them in that realm of saying, yep, your last spouse abused you, that church abused you, that job abused you, whatever. Listen, my friend, did you know the very basic Lord's Prayer says and teaches us, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have what? Trespassed against us. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who have trespassed against us. Listen, we need to recognize today that forgiveness is such a key, but sometimes we need someone to help us through that process. Listen, are you jealous or critical today? Is there a destructive habit that's hurting your marriage or your body? Have you mistreated a family member, or have you been mistreated as a family member? When God points some of these things out to your heart, you would be wise to accept His evaluation, to confess it to God, and maybe to get a godly person with you to help you through that difficulty. Now, I might say concerning this part of getting a godly person with you, you need to get a godly person that you can trust, not someone that has a direct line to the National Enquirer. Someone that's holy and godly and proven. But this is a vital step in recovery, and if it's done in sincerity and holiness, it will be a tremendous help and blessing to your life. Now, first of all, we allow the Lord to take inventory. Secondly, we accept what He shows us through the Word of God. There's a third step. When God shows us something that we recognize and we understand, thirdly, we need to ask God for His forgiveness. We need to ask God for His forgiveness. Now, I want to talk to you about this for a minute because sometimes we overcomplicate this. And I want to give you a couple thoughts very quickly on asking God for His forgiveness. First of all, don't beg. Now, there are some things that we pray for with importunity. There are some things we beg God for, if you will. But forgiveness is not one of those things. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that verse, the word confess means to confess by way of admitting oneself guilty of an inward conviction. It's saying, Lord, I admit, boy, You've convicted me inside, Lord, that I'm wrong in this area. Lord, I commit that to You. I confess that to You. The word faithful in 1 John 1:9 means that He is faithful to His own purpose to show us not merely mercy, but also justice based upon His shed blood. So, if we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us of our sins. And the faithfulness of God to forgive our sins is not based upon my merit, it's based upon the finished work of the cross. And when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and when He shed His blood, then the righteous demands of God were met at Calvary, and that's why we don't have to beg for forgiveness. God's given you forgiveness already in the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross. And so we confess our sin, and He is faithful to forgive us of our sin, because the blood of Jesus Christ ever speaks on the behalf of the sinner. And so ask God today to forgive you for whatever it is He's revealing into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you. You don't need to beg, but you simply sincerely ask Him and it will be done. Don't beg. Let me say secondly, don't bargain. Don't bargain. Now, if His forgiveness is based upon grace, and if grace is undeserved favor, then we don't need to bargain. Now think about that. Have any of you ever tried to bargain with God? You know what I'm talking about? God, if You'll just get me out of this one, I'll be a missionary to Tanzania. You'll get me out of this one, God, I'll make my wife dinner 5 nights in a row. God, if You'll just help me with this one, why? I'll even try that soul-winning stuff. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We bargain with God. But let me tell you something. You don't need to bargain for forgiveness. In fact, you don't even have anything to bring to the bargaining table, you see, because of all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we just come to God openly. I read the story this past week of a man that was awakened in the middle of the night by a phone call. And on the other end of the phone call, on the other end of the line, was a frantic, sobbing girl who managed to get out the words, "Daddy, I'm pregnant." Well, he was groggy and stunned, but somehow was able to communicate his forgiveness to her, and he even prayed with her over the phone. The next day, he and his wife sat down and they wrote long letters to their daughter, letters of encouragement and acceptance and forgiveness. They mailed those letters off. 3 days later, the mom and dad received a phone call. The daughter was shocked from the letters because the fact of the matter was she was not the one who had called. Some other distraught girl with the wrong number had called. However, she said to her parents that the letters they had written had become the treasures of her life. And I read you an excerpt from the letter from her father. "Though I'm weeping inside, I can't condemn you, because I sin too. Your transgression is no worse than mine. It's just different. It comes from the same sin package we've all inherited from Adam. We're praying much for you. We love you more than we can say. Remember that God loves you, and this is a day of testing, and we must hold our ground by His grace. God will give us the victory. We're looking forward to seeing you when you get home. Love, Dad." Now, folks, as great as that forgiveness is, God's forgiveness is greater. God's forgiveness is available. You don't need to bargain for it. You don't need to beg for it. You just need to ask for it. And God says He will give it to you. Romans 5 and verse 20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Romans 11, 6, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, is no more work." In other words, friend, if it's not by grace, we're in big trouble because there is no way that we can work our way to an acceptable position with God. And so we need to ask God for His forgiveness. Now, if you want to be real and open and transparent with God this morning, I want to encourage you, first of all, allow Him to take inventory of your life. Secondly, accept God's evaluation. Accept it. Don't fight it. Don't say, "That's not me. That's not my problem." Just let His words speak to you. Thirdly, ask Him for forgiveness. And finally this morning, accept Christ's forgiveness. Do you know that I've found that asking forgiveness and accepting it are two different things? I've had people before ask me if I'd forgive them. And lots of times they ask me to forgive them of something I never even knew they did. And certainly, even if I knew it, I wasn't even thinking about it. They'll say, "Pastor, will you forgive me for sleeping during church last week?" "Yeah, no problem. I'll be glad to forgive you for that." "Pastor, will you forgive me?" And I'll always say, "Yes," and I mean it, and I forgive them. But sometimes I'll see someone a week or two later, and they're like... And it's obvious that they're forgiven, but they haven't accepted the forgiveness. That's how a lot of people are with God. "I know He forgives me for that abortion, but I haven't really accepted that forgiveness yet. I know He forgave me for it, but, you know, He hasn't really, really, really forgiven me for it." Some of you this morning need to accept God's forgiveness. You see, forgiving those who hurt you is going to be a key to your peace. But until you can accept God's forgiveness, you can't forgive those who've hurt you. And so we need to learn to accept His forgiveness. Now, let me give you two thoughts on how to accept God's forgiveness, all right? Realize, first of all have sinned. All have sinned. And sometimes people walk out of church and go, "Has my wife been talking to you?" And I promise, she hasn't been. I haven't been reading your mail or anything, okay? The fact of the matter is that I know this simple truth is that all have sinned. Everybody here has a commonality called sin. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Yes, we're all sinners. Christ came and shed His blood for that sin in order that all of us might be saved. So all have sinned. Secondly, God forgives us freely. God forgives us freely, and we need to receive that forgiveness freely. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I want you to find that verse on your notes or in your Bible, Romans 8:1. Because some here today need to accept the forgiveness of God. You don't need to abuse it. You don't need to accept God's forgiveness and go do that same sin next week. The Bible says, use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You don't need to abuse that forgiveness, but some of you need to accept it in the first place. Now, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. If you found it now, I want you to read it with me out loud as we think about accepting Christ's forgiveness. Romans 8:1, ready, begin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let's read it one more time. I want you to emphasize the words no condemnation, all right? Ready, begin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, for a man who has accepted Christ as Savior, who is no longer walking after the flesh, but is following God in his everyday life, there is no condemnation. Now, there is no condemnation positionally, as far as God is concerned, once you are saved. But within your heart, though you're saved, if you're walking after the flesh, the conscience within you, the Spirit of God within you, will condemn, or will rather convict. But the fact of the matter is that when it comes to the sins of the past, those sins that have been confessed, God forgives you, and there is no condemnation. I was talking with a man one time, and he was so depressed and discouraged, and he had done something fairly there's no degrees of sin with God, but fairly unbelievable, and he had caused some harm to his family and so forth. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I just feel so bad about this. He said, it's not fair. I said, I just feel like I need to pay for what I've done. And you know, it sort of reminded me of those men in the Philippines around Easter time who beat themselves on their back until they bleed on their back. And some of them even hang themselves on a cross trying to somehow pay for their sin. This man wasn't beating himself with a whip, but he was beating himself internally. He said, it's just not fair. Somebody has to pay. And I looked at him in his face and I said, somebody has paid. My friend, somebody has paid. And his name was Jesus Christ. And he did hang upon a cross. And he did shed his blood. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, for many people today, opening up their hearts to God's evaluation, it's somewhat intimidating to them. But my friend, when you realize the total forgiveness, the wonderful grace that's awaiting you, the freedom that is awaiting you to lay those burdens down at the cross, you will find this to be one of the great pivotal steps in your recovery from the transgressions, the hurts, the sins, and the habits of the past. And as you open your heart up to God and say, God, search me, as you then agree to that evaluation, as you then confess that sin, you will find forgiveness available. And as you accept that forgiveness, you'll find freedom from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chapel and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chapel with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.